Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Okay, the global financial crisis is not the only seismic shift that's been going on in the world's economy. Richard Watson from Now and Next says the way things are going, we may one day see oil sold for $200 a barrel, the Chinese banking system collapsing, and the outsourcing industry sweeping Africa. Who knows? The next telemarketing call that interrupts your dinner time could actually come from Swaziland. Richard Watson, welcome again to Open House.
Hi there.
Let's start with some of the trends, and then you can give us some of your predictions. Now, you talk about Chime, and many people talk about Chime. It's one of those kind of acronym-type buzzwords around the world of economics. Chime, China, India, Middle East. What's happening in those economies, and why does it matter?
Well, there's Chime, there's also the BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China. Essentially, this is about a sort of shift of power from the US and Northwestern Europe down into the Middle East and Asia, and in particular, obviously, sort of China and India. And it's really about sort of shifts of power, shifts of money that are reshaping the world effectively. I mean, China is due to eclipse the US economy, I think, by about 2025, 2027, and the six BRIC nations should probably beat the six leading Western nations in terms of economic pie by about 2030, 2031. So this is fairly significant stuff. I mean, you've got about another 2 billion extra consumers out there in the world with middle-class living standards. So they're obviously consuming things they weren't consuming earlier on, and they're changing their consumption habits quite significantly. So this has all sorts of implications in terms of everything from sort of resources to property and God knows what else.
Okay, at the same time, where half the world is living under a double-digit inflation, how is that affecting things?
Well, I think, it's difficult to just sort of isolate that, but there is a sort of interesting sort of shift going on, I think, where the BRIC nations or the Chime nations, whatever you want to call them, have actually come out of the GFC relatively well, with a couple of exceptions, and they're fairly sort of liquid. They've got a lot of cash flying around, whereas I think a lot of the sort of developed Western nations are fantastically in debt, and I think that's going to get kind of interesting. So it could be that the Western nations are going to go into a period of declining living standards, which we've never really had in living memory. But it's always been assumed that everything is going to get better, we're going to be richer and all the rest of it. We're possibly going to be faced with higher taxation rates, declining living standards, and everything is going to start costing more, sort of food, fuel, energy, all of that kind of stuff. And then on the other side of the world, down to our end of things, everything is getting much wealthier, and people are used to sort of getting more and more, and that could provide quite an interesting tension, I think, potentially in the world. And we've got things like inflation coming storming back in a lot of countries, which I think a couple of years back we thought we'd sort of worked out how to solve that, and it looks like that might be coming back. I mean, it's very uncertain. I mean, there's arguments for the opposite. I mean, it could be that deflation is the issue. It's the view on that one, I don't think, is in the least bit clear at the moment.
Because you've got America that's in heaps of debt. You've got England that are in even a worse situation, and of course, in is Greece and Spain, and it's not looking too good when it comes to Europe. And you do wonder if we will be able to weather the second wave of the financial crisis, if it indeed does fully come to that, as well as we did the first wave.
Well, the problem is, I mean, obviously, the latest acronym is what, PIGS, which is what, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, Spain, I think it is. And I think one of the problems is because of the interconnectivity of these countries and of the debt, that if some, I mean, it doesn't matter too much, I think, if Portugal falls over, it's just not a very big economy. But Spain is a very large economy. You know, Italy is a very large economy. And if one of those was to really go, it could have catastrophic effects, and it would just ripple throughout the whole world. I mean, the phrase that's around at the moment is contagion. Equally, if America fell over, that would impact China very heavily, or if China fell over, it would impact America very heavily. So there is this phenomenal interconnectivity, and it's essentially a bit of a house of cards, I think, out there.
This is Open House right across the nation. We're talking about the future of the economy with futurist Richard Watson. Okay, some predictions from you now. Between 2020 and 2025... you say that we might reach $200 for a barrel of oil again?
It's possible. You've got to be careful. I mean, you're slightly taking my predictions out of context here. But, yeah, I mean, I'm happy to play the game. I mean, yes. I mean, I think Deutsche Bank have said that they reckon 175 a barrel by 2016. And I don't think 200, if you add sort of 5 or 10 years after that, is too outrageous. And this is, again, if you come back to the growth of China in particular, but also India and a few other countries, this is what's fueling demand for this. So the price, theoretically, should just go spiraling back up again, as it was doing just prior to the GFC. I think it hit about 147 a barrel. barrel just before the GFC. And it's funny because it was the only time in Australia that I've seen real behavioural change. There's a lot of attitudinal change before that, and there's people sort of tutting about supermarket plastic bags, but meanwhile sticking them their other bags in the back of their giant four-wheel drives. But the minute it hit about 147 a barrel, people were selling cars, or they were going from two to one, or getting rid of their one car and using public transport or something. Mm. Now, it could be that demand collapses, in which case we might not see that happen. It could be that we switch to another fuel like gas or something, which is there in abundance, or it could be that we find more oil, or there's some sort of technological breakthrough. So there's plenty of reasons why it couldn't happen, but I think it's a distinct possibility that it will. And I do think that very expensive oil will completely change the world. I mean, our current model is not sustainable with very high oil prices. And it's not just filling up your car, it's the price of a steak. I mean, it's everything. It's connected to absolutely everything.
Mm. Mm. The other prediction that you suggest is that outsourcing will head over to Africa. We've seen it head to India. You think Africa might be the next country?
Well, it's in some funny places already. I mean, the Philippines is getting very buoyant and so on and so forth. And China is running out of workers, which sounds ridiculous. And they are actually, you know, looking at places like North Africa. And there's some very amusing things going on. Where, for example, I think it was the BBC outsourced some work to the Chinese, and there wasn't anyone to do it. So the Chinese actually outsourced it back to northern Scotland in that particular instance. But I think Africa is quite interesting as a sort of area for that. And I think we should keep an eye on that one.
Mm. You also suggest, speaking of China, the collapse of the Chinese banking system. What's going to cause that?
Well, again, I think that's a sort of possibility rather than a probability. There's a number of triggers. I mean, people are saying that there's a real estate bubble there at the moment, which there may well be. Although, you know, given the autocratic nature of the government, they can play with the levers to stop that happening. They've got environmental issues. They've got sort of social inequality. Their banking system, you know, leaves a little bit desired, to put it mildly. You know, there's a lot of bad debt in there, which could be a trigger. My favorite thing, actually, is there's a massive imbalance of young men in the Chinese society due to the one-child policy and a few other things. And I think having lots of young men is fine if they've all got jobs and they've got good wages and they're seeing their incomes rise and all the rest of it. But if growth was to fall from sort of 8-10% plus down to 2% or no percent, and these people lose their jobs and they're on the street, that could be a very dangerous situation indeed. So there's all sorts of potential sort of triggers for why things could collapse, I think, with China. I mean, the most likely scenario is it will do exactly what people say it will do, which will become the dominant power and effectively run the world. But there are possibilities there where that wouldn't happen.
Well, the last thing that's on my sheet here is a little bit scary. Between 2035, 2050, you suggest maybe, possibly, a meltdown of the global financial system as a whole.
Well, I think, you know, it does happen. I mean, we've forgotten about this. You know, there are cycles, and we hadn't seen a cycle for a very long time until the GFC came along. And, you know, Generation Y had kind of never seen this happen pretty much before. Apart from this, there was a minor blip with the sort of dot-com meltdown, but that was relatively minor, I think, in the grand scheme of things. I think one of the things is we haven't addressed any of the fundamental causes of GFC. There's still too much debt. The risk is still networked. Everything is still fantastically connected. And there's all sorts of triggers that could make one thing collapse, which makes the whole thing come down again. So I quite seriously think it'll collapse again, and it could. I'm not getting terribly detailed as to when it would happen, but I think at some point it will collapse, and it'll be much more significant than what we've just seen. I think there's more debt around, there's more connectivity around, and when it comes down next time, it's going to be an absolute humdinger.
All right, always fascinating to talk to you, Richard. Thanks for your time again.
Thank you very much.
Richard Watson from nowandnext.com, author of The Future Files.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.